Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the war room. We got Dez, Kim, Jimmy, PJ, B. Austin, the hot block commander.
How you wanna end up 1 or 2 hour show to get the brain running with the premise of talk sports on a national level? Boom with the topic, sort of like the rubber. When it's game time, they like the Fab Five during prime time. Sports conglomerates speak their minds a little bit. For sports medicine and sports veterans and greats. The 4 for 26, so the war in Kuwait. It's the war room with 5 nights at the round table. 5 Philly guys, diversified and educated.
Going on, War Room family, you are once again live in the War Room, brought to you by War Room Sports on the War Room Sports Podcast Network. I'm one of your hosts. I'm Dev Mack. I'm at the War Room Roundtable with the bros, Jimmy the Blueprint in the building, the Austin in the building. I just got one question for tonight. Do we have another GOAT debate on our hands? Man, I'm glad we'll no longer be contractually obligated to talk about this stuff in a few weeks, but we're going to talk about it now. So sit back, relax, bust it up with your brothers in the War Room, the greatest sports podcast there is, there ever was, and there ever will be. Episode 695 starts right now. You can get in on the conversation yourself by signing in right now to the By the Hood chat room. That's at blogtalkradio.com/thewarroom. You could join us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all at War Room Sports. We'll also be taking your calls in about 30 minutes on the Digital Extreme Tech Hotline. That number is 323-410-0012. What's going on, fams?
Ain't no GOAT debate. Yo, Zion is innocent. Free Zion, yo.
Free Zion just because the chick get on your nerves. At this point, yeah, it don't matter what he.
You know you can say free. You can say free anybody, and it, you know. We done did that.
Yo, we literally can say free anybody.
whether they did it or not, they could be completely. Your man could be a serial murderer.
But free,
yo, that's my man. Yo, free him.
Free the ball. You know what I mean?
Yo, free him. Free.
All right, I feel you. B, what's up with you, man? You know, you got professional athletes running around the crib. Well, they're not actually running around the crib no more.
Yeah, they ain't running around the crib. That's the point.
You're a bit lonely these days. Y'all still going from F them kids to, damn, where my kids go?
No, I was just going to, no, stop. I was just playing. Mind me.
Come back.
Yo, man, I'm gonna say this, man.
Because your boy, most likely at some point, he gonna come back with a bag. So, you all good?
Yo, it's crazy. It's crazy. We just got back from 9 days in Utah. Y'all didn't know.
I wish that
my little guy. It's beautiful,
I fly out to Utah on Saturday, dog.
That's the thing, though. It's the
damn.
People. It's not the. You know, Utah, like you said, is a beautiful place. Jimmy, you fly out to Utah on Saturday. I'll be on the flight going. Not really that way, but you know, I'm going to Louisiana. I'll be in New Orleans on Saturday. So.
Y'all ever been around the type of white people that literally like have not been around us? Like, all they've seen is representations of us on TV. Yeah, just Karl Malone, and they know Karl Malone. So, like, they're friendly in a sense, like, you're an alien. Like, not even
us. I had that experience in Prague. When we was walking around Prague, I was like, it was weird, though, because somebody actually came up to me and told me, they was like, you know, we apologize, but we've never seen black people. I'm like,
that's real. That's real. But you don't even get mad at that because it's like, yo, as long as y'all don't act out of pocket and get out of, at least they're not your typical 30-mile white person outside of Atlanta Confederate flag waver. Like, you know, these people just really don't know.
I'm supposed to get mad at that?
Who and what?
Get mad at that?
lady just straight, one lady, she was the only one that had enough heart to say so, but she straight apologized. Like, I'm just sorry. Like, damn.
Did she touch your hair?
No, she didn't. She did ask me what team I played for, though.
Yeah.
Like, we can't afford to come out here every place.
Yeah.
We can't afford a Prague vacation unless we're in the league.
Did he sign with the Jets?
It's funny though, but that's not the first, I've had that before, like flying first class, people ask me that, like, yo, you know what I mean, like, they don't assume that you a corporate executive or you own it, like, yo,
right,
who you play for?
They assume Jimmy got that defensive line contract.
It's like, yo,
man, listen,
I own companies, bitch.
I wish. Usually I fuck with them. I make Monica mad. I'm like, yo, I sell drugs.
Yo.
I definitely have done that. Yo,
Superfly. They call me Superfly at the crib. You know.
Oh man, yeah. They was asking Jimmy, you play for the Jets?
Right. You got the ball. Yeah.
Hard to ask you that. You gonna get something that crazy. I mean, you know, you should ask.
Oh man.
If they ever asked me something like that, I'm just like, I'm a farmer, but I own a lot of white people.
I'm waiting for it to happen again. I'm gonna tell them I got an OnlyFans.
I'm a slave owner, so you know, I make nice bank. All right, so y'all know what it is. Before we get started, man, we just got to remind you that whether you're with us live or not, anytime on demand, you can still check out archive episodes of our show and all of our partner shows on the War Room Sports Podcast Network, either on our own website at warroomsports.com or on one of the many major podcast listening platforms. So there's never an excuse to miss an episode. So don't miss an episode, man. If you're into the War Room, which you should be, check us out. If you're a hip-hop fan, Tissue in the Tape is your speed. Shout out to Davis Backwards and Philmatic 365, 50th anniversary of his hip-hop. You know, you don't want to miss the greatest hip-hop show ever created during such a special year for the genre, man. So shout out to everybody else on the network. Broad Street Line with Roy and Chris, Superstars, John Appetit, if you like to get your eat on the couch with the Wilsons, if you like to watch a lot of TV, and After Further Review with the Mayor. All right, so these hot topics we about to get into, man, they brought to you by my bookie. Yo, it's time for y'all to make some money, just straight up, betting it. My bookie, if you still haven't checked them out, man, go to mybookie.ag, hit it with the promo code WARROOM. All caps, one word, WARROOM. That'll get you a little deal where, you know, if you join with that, they'll match 50% of your first deposit up to a ditty. So just use the promo code that I just gave you. Visit mybookie.ag, play, win, get your bread. I mean, as simple as that. Hey, in the world of track and field, man, Sha'Carri is back. She's racing her way back into the good graces of everybody who whipped her down. Sha'Carri Richardson, she wins the 100 meters at the World Track and Field Championships. I believe they were racing in Budapest. Y'all know I'm rocking in Bucharest next week.
It was in Budapest.
Her victory in 10.65 seconds over Sherika Jackson. And five-time world champion Shelly-Ann Fraser-Pryce pretty much capped a comeback that was 2 years in the making after, you know, she got in trouble a couple of times before the Olympics with the wacky weed. She made good on the mantra that she's been reciting all year. She repeated again after she won, "I'm not back, I'm better." So what are y'all thoughts on this? Not even just the fact that, you know, I mean, because a lot of people – you see a couple of people out there like, all right, she won one race. But, I mean, to even get in this position means that she won more than one race. But to win the World Track and Field Championship and to do it over the people that she did it over is a pretty big accomplishment for somebody who is trying to get back to, you know, the predicted dominance that she was supposed to have. So So I just want to ask y'all, like, what do y'all think about that? Like, is she back, or is this a great step into getting back?
Yo,
what do y'all think about the Jamaicans with the selfies and the smiling and all that? Because they showed her a whole lot of shade when she was coming in last place.
Nah, I'm gonna say three things. Number one of the things that we do well here at War Room Sports, and I don't know how it's gonna work with us, you know, we bring balance to the force. And by balance, yo, whatever the opposite position is, they think we are opposite of them. So when she was effing up, I called her out for effing up. But I also made sure that I said, this is a 20 to 21-year-old woman with the most talent in the world. She had, at that time, and probably still does, have the most singular talent in the world. She was acting like a doo-doo head. Mm-hmm. And she's not acting like a doo-doo head now. She's obviously focused. Whatever it was that was going on in her world that was driving her in the wrong direction, that ish ain't really affecting her right now. She's going in the right direction. That's what it is. And she is probably the only woman in the world with a chance to break that 10.49 record set by the Honorable Flojo. She's the only one that has a chance. So salute to her. Now, the Jamaicans. Something that's really funny about her lineage, if you look back in her history, her familial history, she's actually of Jamaican descent. I don't know if y'all know that. Y'all knew that or not. But she's actually of Jamaican descent, funny enough.
I mean, when you
for
see
me,
her running,
this is
ain't
me
hard
personally,
to
I don't know how. I don't know how y'all feel, but listen, man, when I be seeing games of amusement, as long as the black people doing well, I really don't care what country they from, as long as they black and they winning. So salute to her. And she was coming at the Jamaican girls next. She was talking crazy about the Jamaicans. She was talking crazy back to the U.S. women's track team, like Allison Felix tried to reach out to her, a couple of others. She was in full-blown rebellion mode. So some of that shade that she got from them ladies was based on her behavior and the things she was saying about them and to them. Give her credit. She don't talk about nobody behind their back. She actually said it to them. She talked crazy to you. And so that she deserved that shade. That's what you're going to get if you talk. And I thought they kind of handled it honorably, because when the media would bring her name up to them, they would say, yo, we want to talk about us and our winning instead of y'all bringing her up. That's really what it was. Now, behind the scenes, did they take little shots? Yeah, I mean, it's a competitive sport. But they never really played her out, and I thought that was honorable and respectful on their part. But not because they could have said a whole lot more than what they actually did. They kept it respectful because they knew she was a kid.
Yeah.
McGuire,
and
that's
I know, and
that's
actually,
concern.
You
salute
know how
her.
I feel about it, too. But, you know, I had to bring that up because that's the talk this week. You know, they all smiling with him mm-hmm. now and this and that, but they, you know, even though there was a couple of moments where we saw them walk by her and had some smirks on their face, they pretty much kept it classy the whole time all of this was going on. So, you know, you know, in track and field, because they're generally the top two countries when it comes to the sprints, you know, there's always going to be a rivalry between Jamaica and the U.S., but I've never seen it where any of that stuff was personal. So, you know, I think that they're genuinely happy for her that she's back in the mix.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean they want her winning these races. I know after the World Championships, they like, all right, back to the drawing board, because this chick is she in the mix now. So we'll see. But I think, like, why they thought this result was so stunning, though, is because in the qualifier, I think she started off bad and was like seventh and had to work her way up just to get third. So I don't know how serious a lot of these people have taken her.
She be chilling in some cases she's chilling in the qualifiers. And in other cases, I do think that because of social media and just the world we live in, she's more distracted based on her generation. Like, she got a lot going on. She got a lot of meat. She gets a lot more media attention than any other sprinter has ever gotten in the history of the sport, just based on the times we live in. So she'd be having a lot on her mind. But talent-wise, yo, she's the most talented sprinter since Usain Bolt across gender. She's the most talented sprinter because she's not even in her prime. She's not even in her prime. So that record is in, that 100-meter record is in danger. Believe me.
Danger.
It's in danger.
Watch yourself. All right. All right, all right. And shout out to Sha'Carri, man. Getting back up in, you know, what you supposed to be back up in, man. I love to see it. All right, so let's go right now to our quote of the week. I don't know where this was from. I don't know, like, what show this was on. I don't know the context behind it. So it's going to take it's going to get a little bit of conversation from me because of that. But here's the quote. Quote, if the Washington Commanders offense can stay healthy all season, play mistake-free football, put up big numbers on the scoreboard, play strong defense, stop their opponents from scoring, I believe they can win the Super Bowl. Unquote. End quote. That's a quote from Booger McFarland, a very high-paid NFL analyst. If that ain't the most captain obvious about anybody, insert team here. If you stop people from scoring and you play strong defense and you're healthy on offense and you put up big numbers and this, you can win the Super Bowl. Insert team name
here. If you can go to the bank, drive there, get out of your car, go inside the bank, hand the teller a note, they give you $2 million, and you are successfully able to walk out of the bank, you will be a millionaire because they gave you $2 million.
They gave it to you.
Yo, they need to take Booger. They need to take Booger away.
This is who they pay, though. So this is, you know, in these coming weeks, we're definitely going to point out. Going to point out things that provide our listeners with reasoning, because, you know, a lot of people ask me on the daily, like, yo, why y'all not doing the show no more? Why y'all about to end it? Like, there's a lot of reasoning, so you can put this up there as one of them. There's some more stuff, you know, that's going to come up in the episode that's going to be like Exhibit B, Exhibit C, but okay, this is Exhibit A. You know, this is somebody, Booger's not even trying to be entertaining. He's not even of that ilk, which is the thing now, to be entertaining.
Yo,
Booger is trying to analyze, and this was his crack analyst.
I got to find this clip, yo, because I don't believe, like, this can't be real. Like, I got to find this clip.
Right.
Because if so, I'm bringing back our YouTube. I'm doing a reaction video to this because, yo.
Stop, yo. Keep talking. Huh? You keep talking, man. And you shut the fuck up. Huh? Because the next thing you don't know. Huh? Huh?
Wait, and this is like all week since I've heard this, I'm like, I said the same thing. Like, I need to find the clear. I need to see the context because maybe Booger was being sarcastic with somebody. You know what I'm saying? Maybe somebody else said all of this stuff and then was like, Booger, can you see them winning the Super Bowl? And Booger might have been like, yes, they do all the stuff that you just said. Yeah, I can see them winning the Super Bowl.
No.
So I don't know. But,
it's hard to give
Booger McFarland the benefit of the doubt.
What you've seen from Booger. Yes.
That's what I'm about to
say. You cannot give him the benefit of the doubt.
It's difficult to give him the benefit of the doubt because we've seen him on Monday Night Football moving around on a crane or whatever that was, saying dumb shit all the time. So we definitely got to find this. And if we find it and the context tells us that it was something different than how it sounds, then I will give Booger a public apology for this one on the air. For everything else, no, I heard what I heard. I was watching. I saw the context. You know, Bo just say some stuff. Like, But yeah, that is our quote of the week. And congratulations to Commanders fans. Y'all will be winning the Super Bowl this year if you can be perfect. Because pretty much he's saying they got to be perfect. So shout out to them. And now that the curse is lifted, I have no doubt that any of the stuff that Booger said can actually happen. All right, some more news from the NFL, man. Some more NFL analysts running their mouths. James Jones, former NFL wide receiver, says that it's disrespectful to Justin Fields to compare him to Jalen Hurts. Now, let me give y'all some context on this. Y'all know Shady McCoy, you know, he'll get on there and talk greasy about anybody that's not the Eagles or Tom Brady. So, he was talking
He puts Tom's man part over the left shoulder, but dog, he's starting to put Jalen's over the right shoulder. So he's walking around with two different shoulders.
Bring up anybody on the Eagles roster, and he's going to do that. But, you know, Jalen's the most popular right now. So James Jones took what Shady McCoy said and came back at him with this. He said his arm talent is better than Jalen Hurts. He's faster, more explosive. Running ability is better than Jalen Hurts. He does not have A.J. Brown. He does not have Devonta Smith. He does not have Dallas Goedert. He does not have that offensive line in front of him. He did not have Miles Sanders last year. If I was to tell you these are the numbers of an MVP quarterback, 22 touchdowns, 3,700 yards, he's in the MVP conversation. I ain't going to hold you. And this is the thing. This is the thing, though. A lot of people can't separate talent from
an actual player. Did you see what he's talking about, Jeff? Did you see it, Jimmy? Because if y'all saw it, go ahead, finish. If y'all saw it,
yeah, no,
I ain't got no problem with that, Jim.
No, but listen.
I saw
like,
he was.
A lot of people mix talent with, you know, ability, with production. I see no lies there. No, yeah, his arm talent is better than Jalen Hurts. He is faster than Jalen Hurts.
I hate.
He is more explosive than Jalen Hurts.
I hate that phrase, yo. I want that phrase to die so bad.
What, arm
yo,
talent?
I hate arm talent. Yo, I hate that. Yo, because it don't mean nothing.
It's a thing,
like,
though.
Jamarcus Russell had arm talent. What does it mean?
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. The word
You're the one that said when a ball hurts, throw the ball outside the numbers, it looks like you're throwing into a wind stand.
Yo, all that's true, but I'm just talking about the whole idea of arm talent. I hate that. I hate it. Like, because it's so you, like, yo, what does it mean, yo?
Right. No, but, Jimmy, that's what I'm saying. Like, even take arm off of it. Just talent, period. Too many people mix talent. I've seen so many people more talented than some superstar that we're praising. It doesn't mean anything if you're not producing what your talent says you're supposed to be. Tim Thomas was maybe one of the most talented players to ever step into the NBA. Half the people listen to the show, like, who the fuck is Tim Thomas? So, like,
yo.
Yeah, so he's not lying. His arm talent is better. He is faster. He is more explosive. His running ability is better. First of all, everything you name, all right, we got running backs. He didn't say nothing about, like, actually leading a team, throwing the ball. Okay, arm talent. Okay, he can throw the ball harder and faster. He can throw the ball farther.
Listen.
But what is
Jamarcus
he doing with
Russell,
that arm?
Jamarcus Russell ran faster, was stronger, and threw the ball farther than Tom Brady. What does it mean?
The talent, that's what I'm saying. Talent doesn't mean anything. Like, Tim Thomas was more talented than name a small forward in his era.
LeBron.
Jimmy said, what does it mean? What does it mean? So for him to, you know, for this to be the list that he spits out, like, I don't understand what point he thought he made in that. You know what I'm saying?
He was just trying to get at Shady. This was personal between him and Shady.
But that's another thing.
This man, Shady was being an Eagles homer. You know, this was a personal.
But then I mentioned that to y'all last week. Like, this is the second analyst that I've seen take Justin Fields so personal that they had to come at somebody else. You know what I'm saying? They had to come at somebody else's expense.
Oh, he?
Like, I forgot
who
it was.
We talked about a couple weeks ago how he's like the –
somebody
he
was trashing
has more money on
Josh
him than anybody
Allen
with MVP.
For Justin Fields. Who said that?
See, but this is like – how can I put it? It's the thing, right, where he's the guy that everybody's looking at to take the next step up. And I saw someone break it down over the last, like, half decade or so. QBs have this trend going on currently where second-year QBs take a major leap forward. And it's happened consistently. For instance, they were saying that Hurts, that was you know, what he did. So it's this consistent thing in year, like, you know, two of them having a chance to run an offense, that they're taking these huge steps up. So people are all looking for who's going to be that next guy.
And
a lot of people
Justin
are putting
Fields is that
on
next
him.
Guy. My question is this, though. Why do they have to trash proven quarterbacks to make him that guy? Tell us what he
That's
can do,
sports
what you
talk.
Think
yeah.
he will do, and let him go out there and do
That's
it.
That right there is the what I call
Well,
the-
to Jimmy's point, the entertainment value is Shady versus James Jones.
Yeah, so let me
finish. So they get
me
a little hard.
It's the Skip Bayless-ification of all the sports, right? People don't remember before Skip got popping, this whole debate thing wasn't what sports talk was. Like, he came to TV. Like, you got to, you know, as much as I don't rock a ball like that, but he definitely did change the culture of sports talk. Now, when I say change the culture, it doesn't mean it's for a positive. But every show at this point has to be that way. I mean, that's just what it is. In fact, from what we see now, if you don't have no hot takes, they don't want you there.
Who, me?
No,
talking about me,
brother Jimmy. You in the matrix.
Yo, what happened?
Waking up a little bit, too. So it might be all of us. I don't know.
I think it's all of us. Y'all matrixing to me, too, yo.
Oh, man, here we go. Here we go. Well, we just pushed through it.
That was a lot of work.
That's what we do. All right, our stat of the week, man. Nobody might not want to hear this anyway, so maybe, you know, if the audio gets better after this, people wouldn't have missed anything. So let me stop. Aja Wilson ties the WNBA record with 53 points in the Aces win. So, you know, pretty much, you know, she went off for 53 points.
Who the Aces? Who the Aces, though?
Vegas? I think that's Vegas. So, look, this is just 11 days after she set her own career high with 40 points. Of course, she went even bigger with 53. It was a 12-point win on the road against the Atlanta Dream. The only other WNBA players to score at least 50 in a game is Raquna Williams, if that's how you pronounce her name, who had 51 for the Tulsa Shock against San Antonio in 2013. And the person she tied, which was Liz Cambage, with 53 points. She made 16 of 23 shots from the floor, was 20 of 21 from the foul line. This is the most makes in her career. She's the second WNBA player to make at least 20 free throws in the game. That was Cynthia Cooper in 1998 for the Houston Comets. So shout out to Aja Wilson for putting up big time.
There's no way that she can have a baby out of her mouth. We put up all you,
never left. Y'all off the easy. We got like five F's left. We're like, fuck the FCC. All right. So when I mentioned in the intro, you know, do we have another GOAT debate? Steph Curry was on Gilbert Arenas' podcast and was asked straight up, are you greatest point guard of all time? You know, his answer was something along the lines of, you know, who's the debate? Like, is between me and Magic? He was like, yeah. So, you know, he said he is indeed the greatest point guard of all time. I mean, he tried to hit you with the fluff a little bit after, like, I mean, you got to say that, you know, what kind of player would you be if you didn't think that, blah, blah, blah. I always hate that qualifier. Look, dog, you think you are or you think you're not. You don't have to lie just because it's you. You don't have to prove anything to me. I watch basketball. I see that you're a baller, if you think Magic is better than you, that's fine. You don't have to say this big, bad macho stuff if you don't believe it. But he said it. I'm going to spend a few minutes on it. Not nothing crazy.
What has he done? But can you tell me? Big Magic Johnson, what has he done?
Well, he's a business person.
He's got AIDS. Did he do any
Let me give y'all some comparisons. Now, this is these guys by the numbers. Of course, Steph Curry, over 21,000 points, almost 22,000 points. He's 38th all-time. Magic has almost 18,000 points. He's 84th all-time. Curry, 5,700 assists, 45th all-time. Magic, over 10,000 assists, 7th all-time. Rebounds. 41-79 for Curry, 65-59 for Magic. Three-pointers, this ain't even close. 3,390, the most all-time for Steph Curry. Magic hit 325 three-pointers. Triple-doubles, Steph had 10. Magic had 138, which makes him third all-time. NBA title, four for Steph, five NBA titles for Magic, two MVP awards for Steph, the only unanimous MVP in NBA history, three for Magic, one finals MVP for Steph, three for Magic, two-time scoring champion, nine-time All-NBA. Magic was a four-time assist champion, 10-time All-NBA. Defensive honors, Steph was the one-time steals champion, Magic was the two-time steals champion. I don't think either one of them can guard a chair, even if the chair wasn't
moved. Neither one of them.
Olympic gold medals. Steph has zero. Magic has one with the Dream Team in 1992. Steph has nine All-Star appearances to Magic Johnson's 12 All-Star appearances. And then you get into the advanced statistics, the analytics. Neither one of them have an all-defensive selection, but total win shares, however the hell that's calculated. Magic, 158.8. Steph, 120.2. Career player efficiency rating, 24.1. Steph, 23.8. All right, I've read all of that for the people listening because, you know, the world is a stat world. I know y'all don't give a shite about any of that I just said. Y'all seen each of these people's careers. Jimmy, I know me and you, our old ass, has even seen Magic's career from start to finish. We've seen Steph's from start to where it is now. Who y'all got, man? Who's the greatest point guard of all time?
I mean, this is difficult to answer because I don't believe that you can really actually answer this. Two different games.
I don't think Steph is a point guard.
Yeah, I mean, and some would argue that Magic ain't a real point guard, right? So that's why it's hard to – I like the approach that Michael Jordan said. Michael Jordan said, look, Magic's the best point guard. Steph's the best shooter. Like,
who would argue that, though? Magic ain't do nothing but set the table. That boy put out the napkins and the knives and the forks. That's what he liked to do.
So this is now, what I will say is this. I do believe that if I was drafting and I had a young Magic and a young Steph, I probably would take Magic, right? Yeah. Because the one thing about Magic is it was an instant change to every team that he was a part of. Like, I remember young Steph running around behind Monty Ellis, and until a team was built around him and built the right way,
limping around
a good player,
behind bad ankles.
Yeah, he wasn't. Yeah, exactly. So he wasn't the impact player that a Magic was just right off the, like, you know, is, you know, it's called young buck, like a deer you just let loose, like, go ahead and get to it. So.
Yeah.
I would say that. But Steph's resume is amazing. It's definitely amazing. Magic's resume is crazy. Table
no,
of guys,
Steph,
man.
Steph definitely, you know, has joined the table. You asked me the question straight up. Magic Johnson, better point guard. I still even have Magic Johnson higher up on the all-time individual players list. So to me, it's Magic Johnson. And that's no knock to Steph. Because Magic is generally regarded as one of the greatest players the NBA has ever seen. Steph is in that conversation now, so it's no knock to anybody. But point guard magic, player magic.
I found more interesting in that, what I found more interesting is not the Steph versus Magic. It was the fact that Steph said him and Magic are the only two that can be mentioned. I was because I don't even know if I'm ready to say that, but he did.
He was ready. He was ready to say that. Shooter.
Zeke's going to say something bad about Michael Jordan because of what Steph said.
Yeah. Who would I rather see Steph? Better player, more impactful.
You said who you rather see?
Who would I rather see play? Steph.
Oh, okay.
Who is more impactful?
That's still Magic for me.
Probably Magic.
Yeah, that's Magic for me, dog. That's not even close.
Still Magic for me, dog. All across the
Magic. Magic was more impactful. Magic is definitely the better point guard because Steph, while he can play point, while he does some point guard things, I don't think he is actually asked to carry the weight and do the task of a point guard that much in that offense. I also think when he does play point, purely play point, he's a little too cavalier with the ball. Not saying he couldn't clean it up if he was asked to play point.
Franchise just signed Chris
Turner.
One of the things that to me is like very interesting is the fact that basketball isn't that old as a sport, right? When you see, like, I was talking about boxing. They were talking about boxing matches like 100 years ago. I was like, damn. But, you know,
even
it's
before that,
basketball
boxing
is like
in
the 1800s. Sport, right? I guess, you know, trying to knock each other's blocks off. Yo, they was fighting like 29 round fights and whatnot.
Right.
But, yo, imagine getting knocked out in round 30. It's like, yo, who got energy for
every,
round 30?
Every other day. They was having them rumbles, them same rumbles every other day.
Niggas ain't made like that no more.
Yo, get knocked out. Yo, he knocked me out in round 30. But anyway, my point is basketball is not that old as a sport. And I think it's interesting when people be like, well, the prototypical point guard or a traditional point guard. I guess you can say that. It does make sense. But I feel like the sport is really still defining what it means to be a point guard or a center or all these positions because things change over time. And when you think about it, right, you think about the fact that they used to want point guards to do nothing but sit back there and pass the ball. It's kind of ridiculous. Like, imagine what kind of player, what kind of money somebody like a Kevin Johnson would make in 2023. You know what I mean? It's like, but people used to hold that against him, the fact that he was able to do both, right? So, I mean, the game changes over time. So, I mean, I say all that to say I'm still taking Magic, but I think it's interesting to see how the game has evolved. But, again, my thing is, are they the only two that can be mentioned? To me, that was the more interesting thing. Like, what is he saying about guys like Isaiah or Jason Kidd for, you know, who else is up there? Would you take Jay Kidd over Seth?
As a point guard, yeah. Yes. Because now I got to get to the other side of the ball.
Construction of your team, man.
Construction of your team. Yo, Steph ain't guarding nobody. And Jay Kidd is guarding 1-3 and setting the table and getting you buckets on the downhill tip, getting in the lane. Yo, as a point guard, the thing that Steph does, which is what has made him Steph is scoring and shooting, and he's better than both of those cats at that specific thing. He's a better scorer, and he's a better shooter.
So basically, Steph is being pigeonholed into a position because of his size.
Because he's little.
Size.
Because of size. He's really
not
a point guard.
But at these days, though, there's not a lot of
top five.
Like a lot of people, their best player just bring the ball up. Anyway, their best player.
That's true, too. That's true, too. Be awesome. Who's your top five point guards of all time?
Oh, he put you on.
Jason Kidd, Magic Johnson, the Glove. Huh.
Stockton. You got five there?
I don't know. It'll probably change every time you ask me, but
and
it definitely.
Oscar.
And that's
five?
One thing I guess you should, but I never put Oscar in that mix because I always looked at him like as like a three. But I guess Oscar, you know, he played a whole lot of point guards.
He played
guard,
point.
So.
Yeah,
yeah, that's
point.
What I'm saying. He played a whole lot of point guards. So I guess how can you have a five without Oscar? I mean, you can, but might be wrong. Magic.
So who your father?
No particular order except for Magic being number one. Magic, Zeke. I guess you can go Oscar Kidd and Steph.
Oscar Kidd and Steph.
I don't know. So, that's the thing, because we're qualifying
as a point
guard.
Rod Strickland.
If it's just, like, because my player,
the reason
player would be different than, because I think, Jim, the fact that you brought that up, it's disrespectful for him to even say that with Chris Paul being his teammate. As
yo,
a
maybe,
pure
maybe,
point
yo,
guard.
Not if
he,
yeah, not if you said that. Now that you said that, now I'm thinking maybe that's why you said it. Yo, now that you said that.
Definitely.
Keep going his place.
Yeah.
He definitely drank. I mean, he definitely
pure
honorable mention. I ain't putting Rod in the top five of point guard.
I know. I'm sitting thinking, like, I like Rod. Rod, my guy.
Yeah,
like, yo,
Rod, my
though.
Dude. But...
What about Bobby, though, man? Bobby ain't done enough?
Yo, he's another one. Is he truly
a PG?
Man,
dude,
I want Bobby
to
kill you.
Don't do nothing point guardish.
I don't even want him to I don't even want him to pass. Yo, Bobby, go kill him. Him, he did.
Yo, that's
he another one. He don't do nothing point guardish except for B6-3.
Man, most of you in my top 10, dog. Most of you in my top 10. I don't care. Nobody say.
No, I love him.
Yeah, and you said that.
Anyway,
I'd rather watch Byree play than Steph. No, I'm not.
I do, too.
No,
but I definitely
100%.
Rather watch Magic.
100%. 100%.
I'd rather watch Moki play than all of them. But, no, it's funny, though, because I honestly didn't even put it together until you just said that. That this was a subliminal, as the author said, this was an Aubrey like type bar, and I didn't put it together until you said
coming
that.
Coming to
like,
my team.
Yeah, because why would you phrase it like that? Like only me and Magic be mentioned. Like who else can be mentioned? Like he's like why would you say that? Yeah, that was a sub.
He risked disrespecting a whole lot of people just to get at Chris Paul.
Pretty much.
All right.
Pretty
so.
Much.
You know, we'll see if Chris Paul steal him. And
he ain't never liked Chris Paul. You seen what he did to him?
Yeah,
he
they
that
haven't. That's why. That's why it was so interesting.
I mean,
traded for him. And Draymond said it like, "Yo, I don't like him because of Steph. Like, you know, I don't like that ball." And Draymond doubled down on it after they traded for him. Like, Draymond, asshole, man.
Yeah, pretty much.
All right, so. Before we talk about what happened this week,
real quick, before we move on from that point is probably why I bang with the Warriors, even though people have this perception of them as new age. Yo, they old school, like, yo, you coming to our team. We didn't ask for you.
And, I mean, they loyal
to each
other.
You chasing the chip
with us. Especially like that core.
Huh?
They loyal to each other. They loyal to each other.
You can
join the team.
We ain't LeBron over here. We ain't KD over here. We us. You coming to us. You couldn't get one on your own.
Yo,
you need us. We don't need
KD
you.
Couldn't even break into their clique. And when he was on the team leading them to championships, couldn't break into the clique.
Yo, Tobias made a point in the group chat. He said that the thing about Steph is Steph's career didn't really like start to hit a trajectory until they got rid of Mark Jackson, which is true.
Yeah.
When they got rid of him and Kirk came in and was like, yo, shoot.
Yo, Mark Jackson.
Like, yo, I was out there. Yo.
Mark Jackson
was
trying to make David Lee the man on that team. Like, where am
I? Yo,
and
David
everybody
Lee
keep calling for
his
bull for a job. I'm like, what do y'all see? What did y'all see? They got everybody clamoring for Mark Jackson to have a job.
Yo,
David
Lee is an NBA 2K NBA 2K legend.
He was. He's the glitch a lot. He get in the paint, and you think you like. Guarding him, you try to body him up, Paul, and he just like walked through you, like literally like a ghost.
Yo,
scoring you.
Somebody, he
you remember when
have
we
like
had
the
league going? Shout out to
stuff.
Homie Vic. The boy Vic used to use the Knicks and David Lee, and he used to put up numbers with David Lee. I'm like, come on.
Yo,
man.
He was unstoppable in the game. It was like, yo, this dude can't even play in real life. Why he that nice on the game? Like, that dude was terrible in real life. But on the game, he was like prime Rasheed Wallace mixed with Kevin Garnett mixed with Barkley and Duncan. Like, he was unstoppable.
He was on the game. He was at the table of gods.
It was.
He needed some more.
He like Nick Van Exel on the highlight reel.
Or was he God at the table?
True. Hey, but look, next year, these are the 6 retired players who become eligible for the Hall of Fame next year, Basketball Hall of Fame. Vince Carter, Tyson Chandler, Joakim Noah, Kyle Korver, Jamal Crawford, Marvin Williams. Is this going to be the shortest Hall of Fame induction show of life? Or are they going to let a bunch of international people in it? Just to fill the time.
Can I ask some questions? I just need to know. Yo, why is Marvin Williams' name mentioned with the Hall of Fame?
He hasn't been nominated or nothing. He's just eligible. So is there anybody on this eligibility? Okay. These are the dudes who's eligible to be nominated. How many of these dudes will be nominated, in your opinion? And then how many will make it?
I think one is a guarantee.
You think Vince is a guarantee? The crazy part about this, Vince is a guarantee. Like, I had to convince myself that Vince is a shoe-in. Then, you know, you got to go back and watch old stuff. You're like, yo, Vince used to do his thing. But in my mind, I'm not 100% sure in my mind that Vince Carter is even a Hall of Famer. But somebody got to get nominated. Somebody got
to
get in. So
Vince is 100% a Hall of Famer because, again, this is the Basketball Hall of Fame, and Vince is going to get in just for that Olympic dunk. That's one.
I don't think there's a chance he doesn't get in. But I'm just saying, just say, for instance, there's anybody out there who feels like me. Like, all right, I think Vince is a fringe.
I feel like you.
Yeah, I think he's a fringe Hall of Famer. I know he's going to get in. But this is what I'm saying.
I don't think he's fringe, though. I don't think he's fringe, right?
I think he's fringe.
The Carolina run.
Yeah.
I think he deserves it.
If we were doing our HOF, FOH, I would have to think about it. I think he's a little bit fringe.
If anybody out there who actually has a vote
think he was fringe, like, the fact that these are the people that's eligible with him, that would turn him from fringe to shoe-in. If you didn't think he was a shoe-in. A lot of people think he's a shoe-in.
I guess that's where we disagree a little bit. I don't even think he's fringe. I think he's like, he deserves it. And when I hear his peers talk about him, like, he put fear in dudes. Like, I've heard dudes say this when he's around. Prime Vince. I'm talking about Raptors Vince. When he used to be out there floating, you know what I'm saying? And then like early New Jersey Vince, when him and Kid went on that run and he was just like catching oops. Yo, just go to YouTube and look up Jason Kidd and Vince Carter. Those couple years they played, dog. Some of the stuff
the
they did together.
That he used to catch.
Why are you throwing that oop? How do you even know he can do that? Like, that's ridiculous. Him and J. Kidd went on a run, and if it wasn't for Shaq and Kobe, they probably would have had a couple chips too. But, you know, they ran into that. But, so to me, Vince is one of the greatest
Vince went on them finals teams.
He wasn't on the finals team?
Nah, Harry Kittles was the two guard in them finals teams. Nah.
Oh.
When Vince got the jersey, they won shit. I mean, they won bad.
He didn't play on the finals team, but look at the highlights, though.
Yeah, the highlights crazy.
Look at the highlights, though.
Don't get that dude credit for winning.
I didn't know that he wasn't. He took Keith Van Horn's Sean.
So here's the
argument. They had Kerry Kittle, Richard Jefferson, Keith Van Horn, and who else was on that team?
That's it. Like, the people that were really on that team makes J. Kidd look better. Like, damn.
Yeah, I was about to say, they couldn't even have been in the finals then.
They might even had
a leftover Kendall Gill on that roster. No, he was gone. I'm tripping.
With that being said,
how'd they even make the finals?
Yeah, boy.
Yo, they had Lucius Harris coming off the bench.
He didn't go to Jersey until midway through the 2004-05 season. So they were already done.
All I know is I saw a YouTube video of nothing but kid the Vince Carter plays, and I was like, yo.
And it changed. Why, and it changed your opinion.
Yo, why is he jumping that high? Like, so if that's the case, he went a little bit later than I thought. So why is he jumping like that?
Yo, Vince Carter.
Vince Carter he's still dunking now. Like they showed him dunking with.
I didn't know he was eligible because I thought he was still playing.
Ago.
I thought he was still playing for the Hawks.
Yeah.
He was last year. Two years ago.
Yeah, they went to the finals in 2002 and 2003.
Oh,
Vince got
that's
there
a really good point.
Midway through the 2004-05 season.
How is Vince Carter eligible, Dez? What did Vince?
Yeah,
Vince
I don't know if you
got to
wait
ago.
5 years no more. I don't think it's five no more.
Oh.
Yeah, I think they figured that was too long. I think because he definitely one of the six that's eligible. Let's talk about Jamal.
Vince last season was 1920.
Like, should there be room? Because you know what? Young Bull said this, and he old as hell about and retired, but he will forever be Young Bull to us. Young Bull Lou Will said the other day that he thinks he should be a Hall of Famer. He thinks Jamal Crawford should be a Hall of Famer because of the stamp that they put on with those multiple six-man awards. And I think there's a little bit to it. You know what I'm saying? If we got fans out here arguing that Robert Horry should be a Hall of Famer, the dudes who came off the bench for most of their career and did work the way they did work, it might have to at least,
I can't participate in the conversation because I'm biased, and there's people in the hall that I would take out to put Jamal Crawford in, but I feel that way about Jamal and my man Sam. So I'm biased. Don't listen to me, America.
What about Joakim Noah? He was
Jamal
once an MVP candidate. I don't know how.
Joakim Noah
like
wasn't better than me. He was just taller.
Yo,
he was just taller.
They gotta go back. They gotta go back and get some of the OGs they forgot about, man. Like, cause I don't know.
No, but that's the thing. Those people who didn't make it, they're still eligible. This is just the who's eligible now. What retired players? Recently retired players that are eligible.
Yo, and Jamal.
So we still might get
this,
a better class. Somebody. I'm trying to think who didn't make it that we thought should have made it before.
Yo, go back. Because
it's their time
now. Chambers or something, man.
It's their time now. Yeah.
Go get Tom Chambers or something, man.
All right. So yeah, that's you know what's happening in NBA news. Jim, what happened this week? Where everybody was on the grind.
Wait, hold on. Before we leave this topic, though, I just wanted to be known that Jamal Crawford dropped 50 points at 40 years old. All right, go ahead, though.
He dropped 50 the other day in the crossover league.
Why
at 43.
Brought to you by Digital Technology. If you or your business need a custom website, go to digitalextremetech.com, or you can call 267-205-4203 and go here. And get that hookup, but it's time to talk about what happened while you were on the grid. So Serena Williams and the cauliflower colonizer has welcomed their second child into the world. So congratulations to the happy couple.
Her husband named Alexis.
No, it's not.
Couldn't afford a car, so I named my daughter Alexis. Yeah, baby girl Adira. It's obvious that he gives her full autonomy with naming the kids. Not full autonomy because her middle name is River. Adira River Ohanian. So he let her get off the first name and then
probably lets her pecking.
Yeah. All right. Oh. Shout out to Serena and them. This could have been Common. This could have been Drake. This could have been a lot of dudes, but.
LeVar Arrington.
Could have been LeVar Arrington. Oh,
LeVar.
Jimmy knew. Could have. Never mind.
Yo,
anyway,
they got pictures of Serena next to dude, man. Serena out here looking like a Muppet. I don't know what she did with her face, but.
Yo,
I'm moving off.
Yo, that picture. Yo, that picture is worse than when she tried to turn herself into Tommy to the boy Sammy Sosa.
I
picture worse than that.
Talk about one of y'all got sent me the picture y'all talking about because I haven't seen the picture. But
you don't want to see it, yo. Yo, the pic, yo, Jimmy, the picture's so bad that I feel bad about all the things that I've said over the years. Yo, she looks horrific. Yo, he got
damn.
She looked like that Muppet that was in the band.
She sliced and diced her face up.
I don't know what she did. She looked swollen. Maybe it's pregnancy. I don't know.
Right, I'm just going to chill, man. Let's talk about Titans' Caleb Farley. His house explodes, killing one and injuring one, and folks online still ain't care.
Yeah, they damn sure didn't, man. His dad was the dude that got killed. He was found dead in the debris when this dude's house exploded. I don't know what the cause of that was. I don't know if they've, said anything about that, but the last I read is there was just an explosion at his house. It was a 6,300 square foot home, so that's a lot of debris to be found under, man. So rest in peace to his pop. Shout out to Caleb. I don't know how he's dealing with this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
What did somebody tweeted something crazy at him? Yeah,
they told him that he was doing insurance fraud or something. I'm like, who does insurance fraud and kills their pop?
Right. I guess unless he was doing home insurance and life insurance at the same time. I don't know,
man.
But you saw what they said, though? They said he was doing it because he know he'll be out of the league in a year. I'm like, damn.
Yo, damn, dog. Yeah,
but, earlier in the tweet, and I'm paraphrasing, he said something like, my condolences. I feel sorry for Caleb. You could just say what you want online, man.
He would all be respect his ass.
Right. With all due respect and R.I.P.
He's trash, so he did this on purpose.
That's basically what they said. He's trash at football, so he did this on purpose because he ain't going to have no bread.
Dad just sent me a pic, but I don't know who this is. That ain't Serene.
That was you, B? B sent it.
Oh. Anyway. Oh, yeah, B sent it. My bad. Anyway.
Yo.
With that being said, though.
Yo.
That ain't even the one I saw.
Yo,
no, that's not the one I was talking about.
Yo.
It ain't as bad as you said, but. Anyway.
I was talking about a picture where they were dressed. She had on a black dress, and she looked a little lighter than that, and they were standing next to each other, and her face just looked real Muppet-like. She's not recognizable. Yo. I'll find it. I'll send it later.
Also, what happened while you on the grind? It is what it is. Allegedly secures an 8-figure deal with Underdog Fantasy. I read that it was 30M. They got 30 mil.
Whew.
I don't know how long the contract it is.
Didn't I tell y'all there were going to be several exhibits on this show? This would be Exhibit B. And this is no knock to them dudes because I watch some full episodes and I watch clips because I want to be entertained because they are funny.
Mm-hmm.
But in the sports realm, in the sports space, it's rare that I watch and be like, yo, Cam and Mace really know what they're talking about. And I don't ever say anything like that. But this is another reason, you see the writing on the wall. It's time to get out of the game. This is what people like these days. This ain't my lane. I don't know. So shout out to them, man.
Hey,
secure that bag. But this is what people want to pay now. They just want to see.
People want to be entertained. People don't care about.
They just
want to
be entertained, man. They just want to see Cam and Mace pause each other for the whole episode. I mean, hey, we was popping in 2010 when we was on Paul's Patrol, but we were still giving you the actuals from the sports game. But
that was their job. Me and B. Austin just come on talk trash, but they allegedly got 30 M's for it, man. So, salute to them for that. But it's definitely sports and entertainment.
And I love to see their friendship, man. I love to see the resurgence of their friendship. Pretty sure Jim Jones ain't loving it.
I love it. Man. I love the show.
They were coming at each other publicly on some petty stuff, man. They were good.
It's great for hip hop. It's great for hip hop to see them brothers together. And it's
Jim Jones
totally
gonna kill himself. But
Especially after Terrence and Gene get done with Jimmy going out in the dumpster. But how did they get $30 million?
All I'm saying is
for what they do.
When you see the boy talk about he used to borrow each other's clothes. Like y'all go way back. Like so, getting the bag together is dope. Yeah, so I mean, you know, that's also a subplot in the story is them figuring out a way to make their friendship work and also get some chicken.
Jim probably like, I don't like this dude for you, and now you butt buddies with him again.
Yo, so
speaking of
speaking of sports talk, Skip Bayless is now being joined by Richard Sherman, Keyshawn Johnson, Michael Irvin, and he has a new theme song, which is written by Lil Wayne, which will all be debuting on Undisputed, I believe it's August 28th. So that's going to be the new Undisputed. He got a
Jim,
whole bunch of
said? He said he had a what?
American.
What's that? What's that dictionary word you used?
whole cavalcade of his African American.
He said, boy, had a cavalcade.
A cavalcade. Yo!
Yo, you know.
That sound like a clan meeting. A cavalcade.
It's funny how this is announced.
He got a whole cavalcade of jigaboo.
It's funny how this is announced. And then, Shannon makes his announcement. You know what I mean? It's like, you can't tell me that wasn't intentional. But let me ask you guys this question, though. Because someone brought something to me, and I wasn't even thinking about it. They were saying that, Skip got his whole squad. They was like, Stephen A. got Shannon. But, my homie was like, yo, he's like, I don't think Shannon and Stephen A. will work at all. And I was like, why do you think it's not going to work at all? I said, people love both of them. You know, they like the nonsense. He was like, but it's two black dudes. He was like, part of the allure is that
right.
Black dude and white dude yelling at each other. I was like, I didn't even think about that part of it. What you think about that?
But that's the thing, and I don't know if Stephen A. and Shannon are ever really going to get to the point. Cause I don't care about that, but that's what people want to see now. It's the entertainment of it. I don't think they're ever going to get to the point where their arguments are going to be really contentious because at the end of the day, they're going to stop and show each other how much they, respect each other and care for each other and all that kind of stuff.
So I can't see it going too far.
And people want to see this go too far. Sherman and
we've seen so many documentaries. We've seen so many documentaries and stuff where they talk about like Magic and Bird and how the subplot was the racial thing, right? At the time and even now, no one wants to really admit that, but it's an obvious thing. When it comes to this like sports talk and debate, is that part of the allure, the opposite race? Like, so we've seen the numbers that Skip and Stephen A. did. We've seen that Skip went and replicated it with another brother.
Everything in America.
It has to be part of it, though, because a lot of, especially their black viewers, not going to want to see two black dudes going at each other the way Skip and what's-his-name will go at each other. I mean, they cried during their last episode like they really care for each other, but nobody cared when Shannon got personal with Skip.
There was a rumor. There was a rumor, and by rumor, I mean Twitter was talking about this. Matt Kellerman. Where Kellerman, when he got let go by ESPN, that Fox wanted him bad to be on the show, but the only reason they didn't pull the plug was because he was white. It was like, yo, we don't want two white dudes. He got to have a brother with him.
Right. Look at them.
We don't want two Jews. We want Jewish unity.
Yeah. Those
alone.
Are the thoughts of be often and be often alone.
And Kanye.
Yo. So anyway, man. So we'll see. With these new shows, I guess they're gonna be coming at each other. We'll see who's the victor in this whole thing here. Anyway, back to the league rule. Back to the association, man. The NBA fines James Harden $100K over recent comments about Daryl Morey. And Harden says that, yo, I was talking about him saying he ain't trading me no more. So he tried to clean it up like I ain't no snitch.
Yeah. So that's what I'm saying. So what's his incentive to clean it up, though? Like, wouldn't he want Harden? I'm not Harden. Wouldn't he want Morey and the Sixers to get in trouble if they promised him something else? You know what I'm saying? That wasn't above board?
Mm-hmm.
Unless he's seeing the writing on the wall, like, yo, I'm not going to be able to get traded. This is about to be my squad. I can't tank the Jones. You know what I'm saying? Like, I still do want to try to get a chip. I don't know. I don't know what he's thinking right now, man.
And now there are rumors that Embiid is not happy either. So this could be a whole big mess we about to witness. We'll see. But anyway.
Oh man, what happened to Moses, Chuck, and AI? We got these jabronis. We got them.
Hey, man.
Yo, Embiid been unhappy since his daddy Jimmy left. He's been trying to follow his dad.
Yo, with all of you said, those are the things that happened this past week while you were on the Grizz Nye. You know, we got to talk about
yo,
the
we're
going to
talk about,
season.
Yo, I just seen a picture. We're going to talk about Serena's face again or no? All right, never mind.
About who?
Her face?
Oh, all right.
Serena.
All right. I think we're gonna talk about the Florida Gators, man. That documentary was on me. Anyway.
Yeah, I ain't get the rocket yet, man. So we're gonna rap about that next week. I got nothing but time on my hands, because I'm about to fly out of town. So I'm gonna be watching all the documentaries. We're gonna talk about that next week. Right now, though, we're gonna go to the phone line.
My
What's
bad.
Up?
I saw the pig there, Penny.
We got the homie Tobias on the line, calling from Arizona. What up? Roll damn tide,
our starting quarterback can't throw the forward pass. We got dark-skinned Justin Fields as our quarterback. That's all I got to say. We're fucked this year. But anyway, here's something I came across on the Twitter web since I've been waiting forever to get on the line. Giannis did an interview and it asked him if Giannis said he's not signing an extension in Milwaukee next summer, if everyone is on the same page. Hey, I'm telling you, all those disgruntled guys, like teams like the Knicks and like some of these other teams have been stockpiling picks and stuff like that. And I think he may be out. And a team should get they who may be really interested in first, offer all his brothers a contract for one. Which one the one that's a cheerleader that's only in the league because he cheerleads Giannis?
The Nassus,
I think his name is, yeah.
Nassus.
Yeah. You bring him on, you give him a 3-year deal. You make it happen. But y'all talk about Magic and Steph, right? I saw these stats I think Magic is kinda underrated historically, to be honest. Him and Isaiah Thomas. In 12 folks. Those Lakers teams were...
I don't know about underrated, right?
I ain't saying underrated. Better word is forgotten. Now, I think Isaiah Thomas historically is underrated. Magic, when he first got to the Lakers...
Magic is considered the best by pretty much everybody. So I don't know how he could be underrated or forgotten.
I think
every time
about,
I
like,
look
what
up, there's
does.
A documentary or a TV show about him, so...
Hey, I put it like this, man. We need to make Magic like a spokesman for Trojan, is all I got to say. But the thing is, like, the crazy part is the Magic's career, like his accomplishments, right? This dude played 12 years for the Lakers and had 9 first team All-NBA.
Why would he be a spokesman for Trojan? He never wore a condom.
Hey, Tiger Woods was a spokesman for Buick, but you ever seen him drive a Buick?
Oh, yeah, good point.
Yeah,
good point. But
Tiger Woods
about
like black
did,
people. He never been with one. But as I was saying,
yeah, that's true. Magic didn't use a condom with men or women.
I know.
Hey,
Jimmy will get this one right here. Magic was getting his big veto on back in the '80s. That's all I got to say. Yes, I'm making it through. But I think what the thing is, right? Steph, I remember when Mark Jackson first got there, like Steph was going to try to make him be the point guard. He wanted the point guard. That's one reason they traded for Andrew Bogut, because Bogut was actually a good facilitator for his size. And then when they got rid of Mark Jackson, it brought in Steve Kerr. He found out, well, why are you making this guy play traditional point guard? It's not his style. Draymond could do this. Let's let him do the distributing. Now think about it. If Mark Jackson was still the Warriors coach, he would make Klay Thompson dribble. You know how that ain't going to work out that well. But I still think, like, guys like the point guards you guys mentioned, they, like, you know, even stuff Isaiah Thomas accomplished in his career. Jason Kidd turned around two organizations. And, like, Phoenix was bad. Like, they were struggling. When he left, they got bad. And turned around the Nets. Then you got the glove. B. Austin's favorite point guard, John Stockton. You know, a lot of guys done great things. You know, yeah. But y'all talk about the Hall of Fame, right? Y'all know Joe Kim Noah's going in. I'm telling y'all, man, we're going to manifest Joe Kim Noah in the Hall of Fame.
As disrespectful and wrong as that is, Tobias, it still is nowhere near as bad as Robert Horry getting the look.
Hey, hey, y'all talking about point guards. Y'all forgot about the great Frank Ntilikina, the great Johnny Flynn. Y'all forgot about those guys, man.
Point guards.
But, yeah. And don't forget about 20 years ago, the Mavs made Rudy Beaubois untouchable, you know, of all people. But y'all talk about this Harden fine, right? What Harden doesn't get, and Daryl Morey should have said straight to his face, hey, bro, we tried to trade you, but they don't want you. they don't want to give you an extension. It ain't happening. Sorry, Chief. That's what Daryl Morey should say. But it ain't talking about Embiid maybe mad. Here's my thing, right? Yep. Dev always giving me about blowing it up. But the Sixers need to blow this puppy up. And B turned to 30. He's always hurt. He can't get you past the second round. Blow it up. There's a sucker out there that'll take him and give you a bunch of picks. And Harden, let's be real here. He, at the rate he's going and acting, he's going to be making $15 million on a one-year deal. He's going to be 34 years old, a declining player. He clams up in the playoffs every single year. Why in the hell would anyone give him the max? Most teams ain't. Even my Chicago Bulls ain't that stupid.
Yeah, so my question is this.
No, I mean, but I think that was his point for opting in for that last season because he knows if
nobody
wants to.
Players don't opt in unless they know they ain't getting that on the outside.
Yeah, realistically, if he played his cards right, he's a $30 million a year player right now. That's it. And I can't believe I'm saying that's it. But if he played his cards right, he could get 3 years, $90
million. If he just shut his mouth.
Get 3 years, $90 million. Yeah.
Comparable
to what Mr. Triple Single got. Like, he could trick somebody into a four-year deal at a $120 million. Or buck 10, and get the rest. But instead, he's trying to leverage himself into a position to have someone pay him $45 million a season, and he just isn't worth that anymore. He really isn't.
I'll throw this one out there. If I want to think, I'll fire Daryl Morey ass. You mean to tell me we could have had a young Tyrese Halliburton and a Buddy Hield other shoe that could help Embiid out? And we got a guy here who's pretty much done, who's when he doesn't get his way, he dusts off the fat suit like Ben Affleck dusts off the bat suit. That's what he is. And we're bringing that in. And I think the one issue Daryl Morey has, he fell in love with James Harden. It's kind of like the guy who still see the girl, the high school sweetheart from 20 years ago, but now she got four kids by four dudes that are 80 pounds heavier. Things changed. And it's crazy that the deal he passed.
So basically they see Serena from 15 years ago.
Yeah. And I think the problem is it's like Daryl Morey is attached. And I think that's one of those things where if you're attached to a player like that, nah, you got feelings like that, nah. Think about this. This guy's Mr. Analytics, Mr. Numbers Cruncher. But James Harden, his sweet spot. Not LeBron. Not KD. But I just think that the Sixers brass got to really look at things and be like, where are we going? And maybe you got to sell high.
So, Dev, let me ask you a question real quick.
Sixers brass busy. You got an NFL team now, new toy.
Are you ready to blow the whole thing up, Dev?
Me? No. I mean, if Embiid ass out, then that's a whole different conversation. But, you know, you still the right couple of pieces away for the team to be able to advance past where, I mean, because, like, if you think about it, the team should have gotten past where they've been in the last, I mean, they always lose in a game seven situation somewhere in a series where there was a game
won.
Where they should have ended it before it even got into a game seven. So it's not like they get to this point and get swept and be like, oh, they're just not ready. Like, the luck's just not on their side. That little bit of luck that got to go into a run is just never on their side. You know what I'm saying? And
yo,
maybe it's a situation
thinking, like,
where we got to stop.
Who came out of the East last year? I know
names.
Denver won.
Miami.
Just like with Tobias just
Miami.
Said, though, instead of always just looking for the big names, maybe if you had a Halliburton and a Buddy Hield, that whole thing ends differently. You know what I'm saying? But, it always got to be the biggest names that you can find.
And that was one thing I criticized about LeBron's team. It's like, you don't need every name in the book, but they got Westbrook. I'm like, get LeBron, AD, and you get competent guys around them who fit. And look at where they at now, because they have a shot. But one thing I want to say, though, is I like this. I see everybody, like the tinfoil, koofy hat people with the laser eye, kind of like Kano from Mortal Kombat, talking about, oh, y'all was hating on Sha'Carri Richardson. People weren't hating on her. People just, like, I looked at it as, like, she got humbled.
Right. I mean, shouldn't we be able to tell our own when they?
Yes. Yes.
Without it being hate.
She never made excuses for it. Spoke in the weed. She knew the shit was going on. She knew what was up. And she never blamed it. It's the folks that were old enough to be her parents that were making all these excuses. No, this young lady actually looked at it the right way, but you see how her attitude has shifted 2 years later as she grown and matured. Because nothing's worse than seeing someone with God-given talent who could set themselves up for life blow it on BS, because sometimes the people around you also. And I commend her for maturing and breaking that record. But sometimes you got to get humble. And I'm glad she stopped wearing those awful wigs too. But I'm glad she got. But honestly, but I hate how people talking about, like, y'all don't talk about when she wins. Hey, dumbasses, the U.S. only cares about track and field when it's the World Championships and the Olympics.
Right.
Sorry, it's the way it is. So we're not going to be sitting on the TV waiting at 2 o'clock in the morning watching her run a race in Japan. That ain't our culture. But that does. But the good story is that she matured, she got humbled, and she bounced back.
Shout out to her.
Yeah, I know. But hey, I know you guys got to run. But y'all talking about Justin Fields, right? I think he's under the most pressure out of any quarterback in the league right now.
Well, especially with everybody trying to big him up through his 10-yard performances. Like, he better do something now.
Oh, you mean those three screen passes? You know they was inaccurate. It's all get out, and they still took them to the house. Yeah, but that's a lot of pressure because GM did not draft him. That GM did not draft him. So, and that's a good rookie class coming out. You may have four quarterbacks go in the first round. Hopefully, my Bucks get either Caleb Williams or Drake May. But soon as they announced Baker Mayfield's a starter, I was like the old Red Stripe commercial, hooray, beer. We're going to suck, and I'm going to love it. And if we win a game, I'm going to be pissed off. Like, we need to go 0-17 to get Caleb Williams, because y'all know this. You can tread water all day, but if your quarterback isn't good enough, he's going to be treading water. He's going to be a hamster on a wheel, putting energy in and going nowhere. But, hey, I know you guys got to run. Stay black, good brothers. And I know B. Austin's son may get that Saudi offer, and I know B. Austin going to be out there in a couple of years hanging out, making that Saudi bread.
Yeah! Work that out, Tobias.
Turban down.
Alhamdulillah. Law.
Yeah, I know. My name going to be Tobias Muhammad Shafir if I get that offer.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Hey, you guys take it easy, man.
All right, peace. All right, before we bid out, just want to let y'all know what happened in sports. This date in sports history brought to you by Sports the Book. Y'all know what it is. Go get your copy of one of the greatest sports, the greatest sports book ever written. It's just Sports the Book. Smart people only read the sports. Written by War Room's own Jimmy the Blueprint. Make sure you get your copy. WarRoomSports.com, SportsTheBook.com, Amazon.com. Just go to one of them .coms, get you the book. All right, this date in sports history, August 24th, 1989, was the day that Pete Rose was suspended from baseball for life for gambling. And as many times throughout the last 13 years when we've been talking about this and talking about this story, the few times that it looked like the league was going to be lenient and maybe reinstate him and help out his eligibility for the Hall of Fame, nothing's ever happened. So when they said for life, they meant for life. See you in afterlife, Pete Rose. Shout out to you. All right. Salute.
Yes,
get up out of here.
Yo, everybody out there, make sure to go follow at War Room Sports on Instagram specifically. Because I was telling my brother today, once we get out of here, which we are in, you know, a couple of weeks. I don't know if y'all really even listen, but we getting out of this. I'm long talk. Yo, so you know, that's what we're gonna get. That's what we get our sports bars off at. So make sure you're following us at War Room Sports on all platforms. And everything
See,
that we do
pop up on YouTube.
YouTube. They cut checks. Yeah, so, everything we do, YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, everything can be found at One Hub, including my book, Sports the Book. You can find it at the Hub, which is warroomsports.com. Don't forget,
yes,
warroomsports.com. But
yes,
until next time, everybody, don't accept mediocrity. Steadfast in work and ignorance. We'll see you chumps on Tills Naive.
Jimmy, know the blueprint.
Yo,
every Thursday, 6 to 8, they do this. Shout out to Dez, PJ, B-Austin, Doc Bay on replay. WarRoomSports.com. Get that mobile app. If not, dial.
Call it
323-0012. If you're going and you're sensitive, then oh well.
Yeah.
Physical podcast, let's talk sports. Showtime like magic in the block push.
Magic.
Listen live, push one to join in. Rip your team or listen for your enjoyment. Hip-hop dollars, pit stop and knowledge. Should be in sports credits, I ain't talking college. Five guys, no beef though. Corporate secret, but the streets know. Belafonte, I got a G-flow. KC, royalty, I'm in beast mode. 2 hours, get your game up. Who's the best in sports cast? You better name us. War Room Sports.
War Room Sports, www.warroomsports.com. What? Ain't no more to it.